What did the wise men sing as they came across the desert? Camel, you faithful.
Oh, camel, you faithful.
I'm sorry. And we think they were from where? It's really interesting. Where do we think they came from? The East, you were absolutely right. Iran. That's I believe. Because there were scholars in Iran. And they were studying the stars. And, you know, that's where a lot of scholarship went down, was in Iran. So...
Pastor.
Yes, ma'am.
I need
one. Oh, yeah, no problem. Sorry. I should have been thinking.
One, two, three. And you're going to sing the first Sunday of every month. Just hard to miss the first Sunday
of every month. The first Sunday of every month you're going to do? Great. Yeah, great. Wonderful.
Pastor, I believe they had a Honda.
Did they? Yeah, because they were in one accord?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
There's a baseball game in the Bible in the beginning, you know. We have really digressed. So there was a little boy, and he wrote a letter to Santa, and he said, or to Jesus, rather, and he wrote to Jesus, he said, Jesus, if you give me a bike for Christmas, I will be good for 5 days. And he said, no, I really can't be good for 5 days. 4 days. 4 days. 2 days. No. The kid knew he was a bad kid, you know, so he goes, 1 day. And he says, no, I can't even do that. So he sees he has a statue of the baby, of the Virgin Mary in his mother's room. He goes and he gets that statue. He wraps it up in a blanket, throws it into a bag, and throws it then into the dark, dark closet. And he says, Jesus, if you don't give me a bike for Christmas, you never see your mother again. So we've got a passenger this morning about the Mother of God, Theotokos, Mary and Joseph and Jesus, as Shirley was saying, our gospel passage. They had just done this 80-mile journey to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. There were three big feasts, but they can only do one. Mary wasn't required to go, but to show her faithfulness and her devotion to the Lord, she went as well. 80 miles, and it took at least 3 days. But after a while, they say to each other, where's Jesus? And they don't know where he is in the caravan. Now, personally, I didn't think Dodge made caravans back then, but I guess that's been around a while. They're not that big. How did they lose him in the caravan? I mean, did he duck down? What did he do? I can't imagine the anxiety they felt. And that conversation between Mary and Joseph had to be very interesting. You know, Mary goes to Joseph, do you know where Jesus is? And Joseph goes, no, I thought you had him. And Mary says, no, it's your day to watch him. Yeah. And he goes, no, I just watch him Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, every other Sunday. Mary says, oh, no, I watch him every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And it was on a Tuesday. I mean, can you see them in marital therapy? I can. You know? You guys didn't have to work this out, you know? And then he says to her finally, she says, we need to go to therapy. And he says, oh, no, we're not going to therapy. Tell you what, because I'm a carpenter, I'll make a new dining room set. How will that make up for things? And she says, absolutely not. That won't help us now. You know, so I'm asking myself, how do you lose the Messiah? How do you do that?
Not that hard. My brother had a friend that had 8 kids, came to a pool party, yeah. And went home on their kids to school.
Well, I can understand it with 8. But they had one. But it does say something for community, that they thought others were taking care of him. And so now they look around and he's not there. But, you know, after the virgin birth, after angels, after shepherds, after magi, you know, you would think we're going to think this guy's important. He's the Messiah. And how do you lose him? I don't know. They lost him physically, but we can lose him spiritually, can we not? Now, he will never lose us. Remember John chapter 10, no one can snatch us out of his hand, but we can lose him, particularly after Christmas, we can lose him. I mean, all the frivolity, all the parties and the holidays and all that, we can certainly lose him. And you know what? It's real interesting. I was always told when I was a counselor, oh, during the holidays, that's when your practice will boom. People get suicidal. No, you know, it's just so hard and everything else. And you know what happened to my practice? Went right downhill. So everybody was anticipating going to be with their families, getting gifts, and everybody canceled all the time. Now, January, February, March, I was pretty booked solid in January, February, March. Why? A lot of disappointment over the holidays. A lot of people had prayed about their families of origin. You know, dad would finally listen to them, give them some time, tell them how important they were, or whatever. And it didn't happen. You know, it didn't happen. Dad's still watching hockey or golf or basketball or curling or badminton from India. You know, he's still watching some sports thing, doesn't really have time for them, doesn't acknowledge them, doesn't understand their love language, no words of affirmation, no gifts, no touch, no time spent with them, no listening, no acts of service, nothing. And so people would come back depressed, really disappointed. And sometimes would lose Jesus in that process. Why? Because they had prayed, they had asked the Lord to give them wisdom, they had come to see me, we had talked about it, everything else, but nothing really worked. I had one client who abused laxatives constantly. She was bulimic, and a family member had abused her, and was related to her mother, and finally she had to be admitted to the hospital. And I remember it on a Sunday morning, we had her parents come in, and they were wealthy, and she was going to finally say something to her mom, and she did, and told her about this family member that had abused her, and her mom looked at her, and she said, "Well, you've always had a great imagination." Well, how did my client deal with that? How did we work with that? We had to say, you know what? Your mom just isn't capable of giving you the nurture, love, support you need. She's not able to do that, so you're going to have to somehow grieve that loss and move on. And she did. She did move on and, you know, is doing quite well today. So it's hard times. The holidays are not easy. Relationships are not easy. And it's easy to lose Jesus when life disappoints us, when he disappoints us. Remember he said in the Sermon on the Mount, and the seed in the sower, that the cares of this world can cause us to lose Jesus as well. In Luke 8:14, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. And after Christmas, there could be a lot of those concerns. How are we going to pay the credit card bills that we ran up this Christmas? How are we going to pay our taxes in April? How are we going to fix the house? How are we going to get the kids' dental work done? You know, there's all kinds of things. Financial problems can help us lose Jesus as we become totally anxious about those concerns. We wake up in one morning and we say, "Where did Jesus go? Where has he gone in my life?" In the midst of the clutter of our lives, we look at it as a Where's Waldo puzzle. There's so much clutter, we can't find him. We've lost him. But there's another way we can lose Jesus that we see in this passage. In verse 46, it says, Luke tells us, after 3 days they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. He was listening to them. That's nice. Some people say, "Well, why doesn't he listen to me? He doesn't listen to my prayers. He doesn't hear them. He doesn't do anything for me." Amazed at his answers. He hasn't answered me in forever. And the answers he gives me, I don't like. I don't like them. You know, sometimes we only feel listened to if what we want occurs, right? So that's no way to go. That's not in line with reality. But certainly people can ask questions about God and who he is. Like, why does a good God allow suffering? How can God be sovereign, yet man be responsible for carrying out his plan? Where do the unbaptized aborted babies spend eternity? Why did God allow my father, mother, whomever to die? Why did my friends betray me? Why did I lose that job where I was employee of the year? Questions like this can cause us to lose Jesus as well. And God doesn't always give us the answers that we think we need. And if we understand God's ways totally, guess what? Then we're God. And that's not going to happen this side of eternity. None of us gets all of our questions answered. It's called faith. But it's okay to ask those questions for sure. Just don't stay there. In fact, Jesus was trained in the rabbinic tradition, which valued good questions more than information stored in our heads. That was the method he was brought up with. Questions are okay with God. And should be with us as well. Friday, I met with a couple, and one of the members of that couple said, I'm afraid to ask you these questions because I don't want to offend you. I said, no, wait, questions are good. I don't have every answer, that's for sure. And what I love about our Lutheran theology is we tolerate mystery. We tolerate antinomies, equal but opposite truths, like man's responsibility and God's sovereign plan. And we just accept that. And that's what faith is. It doesn't always make sense. We see through a glass darkly, as Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 13. And we will only see clearly when we see him as he is. And we shall become like him when we're with him for all eternity. But we can lose Jesus when we think he doesn't listen to us like he did the teachers here in the temple. But trust me, if you listen to those teachers, he'll certainly listen to us, his disciples. In Luke 18:1, Jesus tells the disciples that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He wouldn't tell us that if our requests weren't important to him, if he didn't want to hear our prayers. He says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Those verbs are in present tense. So it's continuous action. Keep doing those things. Keep going after it. And that's okay with God. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace. And he wouldn't tell us that if he didn't want to hear from us. And just read the Psalms. David's prayers are all over the road with, you know, calling down thunder on his enemies to, you know, feeling totally abandoned and alone and everything else. So we can lose Jesus by rejecting his answers to our questions. Verse 47 tells us, everyone there in the temple was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And sometimes his answers don't soothe our souls. They just don't. But the verse I run to a lot is in Genesis 18, where Abraham says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? If you have a friend, you don't know whether they were a believer or not. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He will do right. We have to trust his character. And Abraham went there, and so I'm going there too when I don't understand things. God will do what is right. He's perfect justice and perfect love, and he will do what is right. That might not feel good, but remember, it's not about our feelings. It's about the facts that God's ways are higher than our ways. We might not understand what he's doing this side of heaven. Trials can also cause us to lose Jesus. Notice what his mother says in verse 48, and I love this. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. It's as good a New York accent as I can do. Anxiously searching for you. Upon finding him in the temple, Mary exclaims, child, why have you treated us like this? The message reads this way. Young man, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been half out of our minds looking for you. 3 days. It's about 3 minutes and I'm half out of my mind when my kids bolt out of this church after the second service. And Lexi knows this, and I'm running around looking for these kids. Where'd Maggie go? Where's Gracie? Where's Lexi? They're usually at the playground. But one day, Gracie got stuck in the snow as she went to the playground. That was kind of traumatic for me as my feet were wet for the next hour. But anyhow, so can you imagine 3 days? It's like 3 minutes for me, and I'm panicking. And they're 3 days. This is a normal response for a caring, loving parent. Notice what she said. Why have you treated us like this? Can you hear Mary? After all I've done for you, I birthed you, suckled you, changed you, taught you the Hebrew alphabet, took you to school and soccer practice, fed you, did your wash, and you treat me like this? Has anybody said that to God besides me? After all I've done for you, God, I'm trying to serve you, trying to do all this for you, whatever it is, whatever your vocation is, and you treat me like this? Guilty. Guilty. I walked away from the Lord for a while for the way I felt he treated me. Mary tried to guilt Jesus, and we try to do the same, I think, some of the time with things that have happened in our lives. But his ways are above our ways, his thoughts above our thoughts, his plans above our plans. We are not him, but shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Jesus' response is interesting to his mom's guilt message. He responds in verse 49, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Or you can translate it, "or about my Father's business." And when we lose Jesus, we forget the same, don't we? We forget he is where he always is, about his Father's business. Bringing people to himself, as Ephesians 1, our reading there, said this morning. He predestined people, and now the grace of God he gives to people through the word of God. He gives us faith. "For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." He's bringing people to himself, and he's sanctifying us. He's making us more like Jesus, those of us who are believers. He's always doing those things. If we ever lose Jesus, we need to remember what he did for us on the cross. 1 Peter 2:24 tells us, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for his righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." We're healed from our sinfulness by his death on the cross for our sins. He died in our place to pay for our sins, so we are justified by faith in him alone. His wounds have healed us for all eternity. We were made right with God through his death on the cross for our sins. If we lose Jesus, we also need to remember he is God's word. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ." He is the Word of God. We have to remember that it's all about him. Dr. Bruce Waltke was an eminent Hebrew professor at Dallas Seminary. He's now at Regent College and Seminary in Vancouver. And Dr. Waltke was on the New International Translation Committee back in 75, that summer. I started seminary in the fall of 75. And so Dr. Waltke was at chapel, and he was in Paris, France for 6 weeks, 8 hours a day, every day. They translated from the original to get the New International Version. He said, "I've never been further away from the Lord Jesus Christ during that time." Why? Because it was an academic exercise. It became just all about tenses and verbs and nouns and parsing and sentence structure and all that. Don't ever get into your studies so much that you forget who it's all about. The Pharisees did that. Jesus said, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me." All the scriptures are about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to increase your relationship with him. It's to become like him. It's to be changed from glory to glory, as the new covenant tells us it's going to do in 2 Corinthians 3. That's why we're into it. Not just to get information, not so we can just parse verbs or talk about sentence structure, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the living, breathing Word of God. And sometimes we lose Jesus because it doesn't feel like he's there. Modern-day evangelicalism relies on feelings to affirm one's faith. Some faith traditions tell us if you don't feel like you're saved, you might not be. But we Lutherans don't rely on our feelings to know we're saved. One of God's children, one of his family. We look to facts, our baptisms, and communion. If we ever lose Jesus, we need to remember our baptisms. There we were given faith, the Holy Spirit. Our sins were washed away. We were made new creatures and adopted into his family. We know we were baptized and sealed with the Holy Spirit then. As the writer of Hebrews tells us in chapter 10, verse 23, "Let us draw near in full assurance of faith." Get this, "with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Sins are forgiven. We're new creatures in Christ. Remember that if you ever lose Jesus. Also, we need to remember that he died for us and on the cross and was raised from the dead for our justification. And that his body and blood are present in, under, and with the bread and the wine. There at communion, our sins are forgiven and our faith is strengthened. And as we take communion for the forgiveness of sins and strengthening of our faith, we know that we belong to him in the body of Christ as well. The Lord tells us in Hebrews 13:5, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. In Matthew 28, that he'll be with us to the end of the age. Have we lost Jesus over Christmas? Are we going to put him away like we did the Christmas decorations until we need him again next year? Hopefully we will not lose him as his earthly parents did. May we be about our Heavenly Father's business, doing everything we can by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to know God and make Him known to everyone we can. And all God's people said. Amen.